Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whenever you're listening. This is the Fool's Folly Podcast.
Ah, oh, come on, Connor Maud, kick this shit off.
Kick this shit off. Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. It's week four of the Apocalypse Office Party. We're here, we're drinking, we're talking. I've got a whiskey drink and a gin glass. Some might call it sacrilegious. Here we are again. We're in week four of the Apocalypse Office Party. You've got a new backdrop, I've got a new background. Some people might think it's a completely different room, but alas,
no.
I'm in the same room. Mm. But we're here. I'm brighter, I've got... let's do this again, that was shit. Let's start again. Oh, God, we're here.
We're back for another party. Thanks so much for coming along and joining us. Do I sound okay by all sounds? Because I did not test my sound before we did this.
Do I sound okay? Fine.
Well, we'll work that out in the edit if we don't. But yeah,
if that's shit,
grab a drink, come round. It's week four of the Apocalypse Office Party. Four is a lovely number for an apocalypse.
Goes
well,
doesn't it?
It suits.
Certainly
suits.
Does.
Suits very well. I've got new backdrop, which is not new backdrop. It is just the same backdrop as last week, just flipped, reversed. On the other side,
nice.
It is back.
See, now that's smart.
It is.
That's smart, because it's gonna make it look like a whole different thing.
But also, I then went to put a different shirt on because I remember saying, I'll put a different shirt on next week because otherwise I will look like a cartoon character who wears the same thing every week.
Mm-hmm.
But that other shirt, it was grey.
And you've got a... Yeah, you'd look a bit
blended
dark
in,
wouldn't you, mate? You done blended in.
How you doing, my friend? Let's do catch up. You know, we like a structured conversation, so...
Hashtag structured fun.
How you doing, my friend? How's your week
How been? I doing? Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm pretty sound. Nothing too much to complain about, I suppose. Other than the fact, you know, we're all still stuck here in the world.
Yeah.
Other than that, I'm great.
Is the world
no,
ending?
Up too.
I don't know about you, but have you felt...
No.
I weirdly this week have felt either I'm getting so used to it that it's fine, or a few odd things have started happening that's made me go, I think slowly we might be on the back end.
Do you reckon?
Maybe that's,
I don't know.
False optimism, but I don't...
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's good to remain optimistic about it.
Yeah.
But because otherwise, I think we'd all go a bit mental, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
I think you've got to remain a little bit prescient of the situation, but also, you know, be smart and sensible about it still.
Oh, yeah.
What have I been up to? Nothing. Getting along. What I have done is I've cut my drinking down. Like it was a tip I took from you last week. I've cut my drinking down to weekends only as well now. Because it was getting to the point where I was like, oh, you know, two or three glasses of wine every night. And I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
And I know, it's not, do you know what? It wasn't even so much the booze side of it. It was the, I can't physically go out and get as much exercise as I used to.
Yeah.
And I'm still walking every day. But that doesn't feel like nearly enough to warrant the amount of booze I was drinking. So
yeah.
I've kind of limited it to the weekend only now, which is... As I look down and I've got multiple drinks down on the floor next to me. But yeah, I just think that's a bit of a smarter thing to do. What about you, mate? What have you been up to? What have you been doing?
So what have I been up to? So it's been, well, as you should all know now at this point, it's been creative distance. At the time of recording, it's been creative distance week five. And by the time this comes out, week six will have happened. So in week five, we had the return of... We had another fantastic story from Rachel Hammond, who has been... Everything's been a highlight for me. But Rachel Hammond has been one of the absolute standout highlights for me. I think her stories on Mondays for children and families are absolutely phenomenal. And the fact that, you know, she gives us a show each week is just great. And she's always up for it. And there's never any like, oh. She gives us so much content and is willing to and plays ball and is so generous with her time and really puts the effort in. I can't thank her enough for all the work she's done over the last sort of 5 weeks. And she's going to be back in week six as well with another one. And all that stuff's available to catch up with. What else has there been really quick? Again, Inspiration Creative, who have just been absolute troopers. More art classes, more BSL signed sing-alongs and story times with them has been fantastic. And in week... this week, Conrad Murray did a live lockdown gig. Conrad Murray, again, the big guest.
We met Conrad. We've met Conrad. We have met. Yeah,
not that he would know who we are.
No, probably not.
Know us from Adam. I don't actually know anyone called Adam. But...
I do, I think. That's not important or funny. And it's a comedy show.
But Conrad Murray did a 40-minute gig, I think from like... his own sort of makeshift studio that he's got. Can't quite tell where
I imagine, So for people who don't know, Conrad Murray is a beatboxer and he does...
He's the...
lessons in that and...
He's the artist. He's the artistic director of Battersea Arts Centre's Beatbox Academy and was one of the creatives, like the director creatives behind their absolute smash hit show, Frankenstein, How to Make a Monster, which sold out in Edinburgh last year. And was one of the most reviewed, one of the most talked about, and won a lot of awards, and gained a lot of acclaim.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I didn't know
so it's because it used a lot of beatboxing and a lot of that work came from that side of Battersea Arts Centre. So he was phenomenal. And again, and then he did a workshop the following day via Zoom, like a beatboxing and songwriting workshop. So again. Creative distance that's getting all the people.
It's just it's been a real, and I think I've said it before. So excuse me if I sound like I'm rehashing the same subject and talking about the same thing. It's just been a real nice, lovely coming together of people. You know, because in a time where I think people need that in their lives, and they need that coming together, and they need that little bit of something in their lives to kind of just be more and to have something like that is just pretty fantastic.
And I should plug very, very quick, which is that Creative Distance kicked off 5 weeks ago with a game that people could get involved with called the 20-second No Hands Challenge, which challenged everyone to create a 20-second video just being as entertaining as they could. And the idea behind the 20 seconds was because it takes 20 seconds to wash your hands. What else can you do in 20 seconds? The new game is a 60-second lockdown adventure. So can you take us on an adventure in 60 seconds in your own environment, create the most weird, wacky, wonderful world that you can? There's another £100 prize for the winning entry. So for the most imaginative, most exciting, most entertaining entry, there's a £100 prize. The deadline for getting your entries in is Thursday, the 7th of May at 11 a.m. And you should send your entries to creativedistancefest@gmail.com. So
fingers crossed, last day of the lockdown as well.
Well, let's hope. let's
yeah, right.
At least in its current fingers crossed. Form.
In its current guise.
But apart from that, I think like all of us now, it's finding things to muddle yourself through. I'm still learning French.
Excellent. How's that going?
Do you know what? I'm at the point now where I've learnt enough so that I'm getting to the point where it's advanced enough that in the early stages, because it's teaching you basics, it teaches you very formal French and teaches you some basic rules. And now it's slowly beginning to go, oh, there's like shortcut, you know, like informal language.
It's conversational,
It's slightly more conversational. So there are now new rules and I'm struggling to learn them because I learned some old rules and I don't always think. So it's felt a bit slower this week. I also have not dedicated near enough, but not quite as much time as I did the previous week. I need to up my game again and level
up.
Up
your game and level up.
yesterday, time of recording, yesterday I had to have my annual haggle with my car insurance provider conversation. Because 2 years in a row, they have tried to up my premium from the previous year when my insurance, I've never had to make a claim. I've been driving for about three years now. So I've got no claims bonus. I'm obviously getting older. And none of my details have changed. And I do relatively low mileage. My insurance premium should be coming down each year. They shouldn't be trying to increase it.
You would think
it.
So, wouldn't you? Yeah.
So each year, I now have to phone up and go, hello, you're trying to put my premium up. I have found a cheaper one, which I do, and I have it in front of me as I'm having this conversation, so that I can quote the exact price and the provider. And this year, it just got to the point where, because of the situation, I just, and I'm not good on the phone normally, but I quite like this phone conversation because I know I hold all the power. So it got to the point, though, where I phoned up and I had a very chipper, lovely American dude on the end of the phone. And also Admiral, who are my car insurance provider, they were really trying to put me off phoning by going, call times might be like up to an hour because of the current thing. I got through in 5 minutes.
Of course.
5 minutes,
yeah,
I got through.
Of course you did.
Because there isn't a big wave of people phoning for their car insurance.
Trying to phone
no,
in, yeah.
No, of course there isn't. so I got through straight away. But because of the situation, I just felt emboldened to go, basically, you want to charge me this and I don't want to pay it and someone else will do it cheaper. What can you do for me? And he was like, well, okay, sir. Yeah, I can go through this. I can only assume then he played solitaire for 5 minutes because he had to, all he would have done is re-enter the same details that he has on file.
Yeah.
And somehow managed to deduct 140 quid from my premium.
Mm. Which means Darren now only pays 65p for his car insurance for a year. That's pretty
well,
hard, isn't it?
I mean, no one should be paying car insurance at this point. I think, given the current situation,
given the current situation,
everyone's car insurance should be written off.
Or at least road tax, I suppose.
Also, they should probably also up the drink drive limit, because who's on the road? You know what I mean?
Yeah, is that the message for the people? Is that your hill you're going to die
this
on?
This is a government announcement. With new guidelines about drink driving. You can now have a full bottle of wine and go on the road, because who are you going to crash into?
Other drink drivers, I suppose.
Yeah, but that's just called dodgings. Do you know what I mean? You'd pay for that privilege at a fairground. So I'd...
You would, wouldn't you? Yeah, at the Kentucky Derby every year, you pay to watch drunk people drive cars fast.
Do you know what was lovely? At the end of this conversation with this American dude, because we were having actually a really nice time, because we both understood the dance we're doing, right?
Sure, of course, yeah.
At the end, he was like, and I started with an apology, actually. I was like, I'm really sorry. I meant to phone days ago because my premium is due the next day. It's due to renew today. Can I sort this out? And then at the end, he was like, oh, I see by my records that you had this conversation the day after your premium renewed last year. So actually, you're 2 days ahead of the game. And I said, well, a pandemic focuses the mind. And he was like, wow. Like, but we ended, and genuinely, we ended the conversation with, he went, well... thanks for phoning in. Have a lovely pandemic. And I went, have a lovely pandemic too. Bye now.
Did he actually?
He actually did.
Incredible.
I'm not making that up for a gag.
That
he
is
went,
incredible.
Have a lovely pandemic. And I went, well, have a lovely pandemic too. Thank you so much.
Oh,
bye.
That's amazing.
So I'm
going
to end.
Oh, I love that.
I'm
going to
end every conversation with, have a lovely pandemic.
Have a lovely pandemic.
I think
pandemic.
We should.
Yeah.
I think genuinely we should go, have a lovely pandemic.
Why not?
Fuck it.
Have a lovely pandemic. Why not indeed? Why not
so
indeed?
That if your car insurance is due to renew, I'm Martin
make
Lewis
sure
now. I'm a money expert. If your car insurance is due to renew, make sure you haggle.
Make sure you haggle.
But in terms of a genuine cultural tip, I plugged it 2 weeks ago, but then it didn't quite drop because they were having uploading issues. But the EP to Fat Rascal's show, Unfortunate, The Untold Story of Urshela Sea, which is now available on Spotify, iTunes, and all other streaming services. They haven't put the entire soundtrack to the musical on, which I think actually makes sense. Now I think about it, because they still want to not give all the stuff
course,
away for free. But
It's the reason, you know, comedians don't do... It's the reason comedy CDs don't really exist anymore in the same sort of guise that they used to back in the sort of 70s and 80s.
Yeah, exactly. So, but most of the... Some of the key songs are there, particularly Unfortunate itself, which I love and I've been listening to basically on repeat all week. We didn't make it... We didn't make the cut at Disney, which is a brilliant song.
Yeah.
We have been doing a podcast for about a year.
We have been doing a podcast for about a year. We have indeed.
I think we've passed it now. We've passed a year, haven't we?
We've passed the year, and I think probably as of this episode, we've probably done enough. No, actually, probably not, because we missed a lot at the end of last year. Anyway, yeah, what was your point?
By our, probably by our own admission, this came into existence by essentially going, we should do that, that'd be fun, and then just marched in.
Yeah, as like most things in our creative endeavours.
With no real planning or, you know, sense of what that might be.
Yeah,
so I thought today, for the first time in a year of doing a podcast, I would Google how to make a successful podcast.
Okay, right, excellent.
And I came across an article on thepodcasthost.com, which offers 7 key points and tips and tricks to make a successful podcast. And I thought what we could do, that we'd go through them and work out if we've done them or not.
Okay, go ahead.
So,
let's do this.
Tip one. Tip one, according to the podcast host, define a successful podcast. Is tip number one. So it says here, first things first, success means many different things to many different people. For some, it's about the big download numbers. Not us.
Definitely not
us. Others dream of earning a full-time living from their shows. Not us. Many business podcasters see success as getting regular sales inquiries because of their content. And for others, it's simply a case of having a creative outlet and a platform to tell their stories.
That one's probably us.
So, in order to work towards your own version of a successful podcast, you need to first ask yourself, "What does success look like to me?" Well, Connor, I think we can say we've achieved it.
I think we've smashed that, mate. I think we've look at this. I've got a plain Magnolia background, and I'm sat down on the floor. How can you better? Show success is all I'm
saying. I've always wanted to. I always said, by the time I'm in my mid-20s, I want to be sat in my bedroom with a bedsheet behind me, getting...
In our childhood bedrooms.
Ooh,
let's call ourselves out. Oh. Let's call ourselves out for a second.
Well, we're never getting laid again.
We're grown up. We're so grown up.
Never having literally no one's ever touching my penis again. But I never thought. I always said in my mid-20s I want to be sat in the bedroom in front of one of my own childhood bed sheets, getting pissed on camera.
Well, some people might call that successful. I don't know.
Tick.
Tip number two,
okay. According to the podcast host, have a why. When you run a podcast, things don't always go to plan. Fucking two, right? Life can get in the way, hardware and software can break, files can vanish, and there's really no shortage of things that'll test your patience in the long run. When things go wrong, you really need to have a solid core reason for wanting to podcast. One that's big enough that it will never be overshadowed by any of the above. That ties into how you define success, but with the question, why am I doing this? Which is literally a question I ask every single day. It's more about the journey than the destination.
Oh, fuck off, motivational speech.
Tip number three, play the long game. Uh-huh.
Well, I think we're.
I mean, there's
we're
long
well and truly on our way.
There's the long game, and then there's the never-ending story. The true podcast tip that many aspiring podcasters don't like to hear is that it can take years to build an audience.
Well, I think, you know, I don't know. All this roaring success, Darren, we haven't found that, have we? So
Joe Rogan's got his millions, we've got Clive. And I wouldn't trade that for the world.
I wouldn't trade that for the world. No. Would not trade that for the
world. And in order to make a successful podcast, you need to be prepared to turn up consistently and regularly over the next few years. Fine. Okay.
Yeah, we've kind of done that.
Number four, make it sustainable. A big part of enjoying the process of podcasting is that it isn't a complete battle to get new episodes done and out. Well, I can safely say we do not battle with the idea of getting just content out. Because if you've been following us, no. You know we like to take an extended break from time to time.
Every now and then. I like to call it the seasonal content, I think.
Number five, we got a little bit hung up on this one. Don't get stuck on the launch.
Yeah, that we did do that. We were so a little behind the scenes. If you've ever heard the first podcast, in its audio version, kind of how we originally created it. How many times do you reckon we probably recorded that opening show?
Three.
Five? Was it three, was it?
Three times.
Yeah. So,
I mean,
to get one show out, but hey, you got to go off with a bang, haven't you? And I would consider that opening episode to be mediocre at best. And we went, that's the one we're going to put out. Hey, there you go. What are you going
to
do?
Well, you made me listen to it back the other day, and I mean, I've never wanted to slap me more.
Yeah, I did make you listen to it back.
Like a form of torture. You've been very naughty. You've got to listen to your first. Yeah, you've got to listen to your first podcast back.
Your early creative endeavors.
Number six.
Oh God.
Mm-hmm. Take control. Long term, you'll want to check in regularly with your audience and seek feedback from them. This is the difference between a podcast surviving and thriving.
Clive, could you just drop it a little comment below what you like about the show, and we'll keep all that in. Thanks, bud.
Nail down an agenda in the early days. Those who buy into it will appreciate your decisiveness and stick around. They'll become your core audience, and further down the line, you can begin to consult them on shaping the future of the show. So, let's bear that in mind.
Yeah, okay.
However, that point was made. The number seven.
Yeah.
Don't rely on audience participation.
Okay, good. They're sort of crossing the wires a little bit there, aren't they?
I mean, a takeaway I got from point six was eventually rely on audience participation or use audience participation to shape your agenda. Number seven, don't rely on it though. Okay, fine.
Don't make sure it's not a linchpin of your whole genre.
And I can safely say we have not relied on audience participation, even when we've tried to make it a thing. So
oh God, yeah.
So useful, right? Now we know how to make a successful podcast.
So are those all the
points?
Those
are all the points.
Well, God, well, I expect this episode then to get... If we follow all those points, which we won't, but if we follow all of those points...
Oh, we won't in this one, because we've already started, so this one's a write-off. But next week...
This one's a write-off.
Next week we'll soar.
Hey, Darren Hill, are you ready for some quickfire questions?
Oh, I am ready. I am absolutely ready for some
quickfire questions.
Are you going first this time? Do you want to go first?
I'm going to go first, you can answer first this time. Okay. Quickfire questions for Darren Hill. Darren, what is the best day of the week?
It is Friday.
Friday. Why?
Friday is the start of the weekend, and you know that you've still got Saturday. That's why it's better. Saturday is a great day, nice. But you know Sunday's around the corner and Sunday's is fucking awful. But Friday, you're like, Friday's great. And then I've got Saturday.
Yeah, nice. So what's your favourite drink?
At the moment, it is any gin I can get my hands on. With any tonic I can get my hands on.
Ah, very nice. Very fun. What's your go-to order at a restaurant?
I'll usually go for a steak.
Good, solid choice. Cooked how?
Medium rare.
Nice, perfectly adequate. Have you ever been on a blind date? If yes, how did it go? If no, would you?
No, I haven't ever been on a blind date, and why not?
What's the first thing you'll do when the lockdown's over?
I know what I'd like it to be.
Which is what?
What's the first thing I will do? I hope it is, I mean, and I'm going to be a little bit sincere, I really hope that one of the first things I'll be able to do is go and teach again. Because God, am I starting to either go and teach or go and do stand-up really quickly. Because teaching, actually, I sometimes complain about it and I make jokes about it, but God, am I missing working with particularly my
youth. That's really, really sweet. So a little bit of a follow-up question to one of the quickfire questions, yep. I think. An army of 8-year-olds is coming at you like a wave of zombies. How many can you take before they overrun you? So last week, I believe it was 4-year-olds.
Now, I have worked with some 8-year-olds in my capacity as a facilitator, and I know that they are off the wall mental. I reckon I'm only taking 3 of the fuckers.
3, as few as that, right?
Okay. I think with 4-year-olds, the thing with a 4-year-old is I would pick one of those 4-year-olds up and use them as battering rams against each other. And I don't think you can quite do that with 8-year-olds. I think
with an
8-year-old,
no.
So I'm only taking 3 before one of them does you in like the nads and then you're out.
And it's so over.
You are done.
Then you're done for. Rate these TV chefs by how good you think they are at archery. Hugh Fenwick, Whittingstall, Gordon Ramsay, and Gino DiCampo.
Am I going least to most again?
I've got least to most, please.
It's Hugh Fenwick, Whittingstall, bottom, because it's Hugh Fenwick.
Really?
Because it's Hugh Fenwick, Whittingstall. Now, you see, I know you were saying, I reckon the argument you would make is that he lives in the country, and that he would like be good at probably foraging and those kind of things.
Outdoorsy, that was my thinking.
But watch any television program with that man for 10 minutes and then say, I would trust him to go and hunt for my dinner. Love him as I do. He's only coming back with mushrooms. And
very shot.
Then Gino. Mm-hmm. Then Gino. I don't really know why. I just would trust him a little bit more. But top,
then
once again this week, is Gordon Ramsay. Because also, I know, I go sometimes on Gordon Ramsay binge watches on YouTube, and I know he's done things where he's gone hunting and whatnot. So I know that he's probably a little bit more proficient. And let's be honest, out of those 3 men, and you went, here's a bow and arrow, hit the target. Argue about it. Yeah. It's Gordon Ramsay.
He was top for me because really? I thought outdoorsy, but it's just not my, it's fine. You have an hour to live. What's the last thing you do?
Oh, can I do anything?
Yes, sure. Why not? It's funny, isn't it?
I get a really good bottle of gin and pair it I get the best gin and tonic I can, and I go and sit in the Theatre Royal in a really good seat, and I would watch a show from Kill the Beast.
Oh.
That's what I would, if I could spend an hour, if it was my last hour, that's what I would do.
Oh, that's really nice.
What a wanker I am.
what a twat. You're throwing a dinner party. You can invite 4 guests, alive or dead. Who are you inviting?
That's a really good question. I'm going to have you. I'm going to have Gary Oldman.
Nice. Good choice. This is great for me as well.
Yeah, I'll have Gary Oldman. I'll have Victoria Wood.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant.
And I would have... Oh, I'd have Billy Connolly.
Great, great,
because wouldn't that just be...
That'd be a riot of a party, wouldn't it? Yeah, absolutely. What's the last thing you got embarrassed about, or your most embarrassing moment? If you can't think of the last thing you got embarrassed about.
The one that springs to my mind. Well, there are two things. I'm still embarrassed by when we were teenagers, walking along the top of Ramsgate.
Yeah, at the top, by
the Granville. Anyone
saying,
who lives in Thanet knows, if you can picture where the Granville is at the top of Ramsgate, up along the coast.
Up towards King George Park.
Up towards King George Park. To anyone outside of Thanet, you won't notice. But anyway, basically, there's a coastal path, and there are these huge flight of steps. Just imagine a huge flight of steps. Me and Connor were teenagers and we're walking along the top of this thing, and we got to these steps and saw some like young kids like daring each other to try and clear the steps and land
the
at the
stairs
bottom. And I don't know why I said it, I said I could do that, and Connor immediately goes, yeah, well, do it then. So that is a challenge. Yeah. And yeah, I walked absolutely. To the top.
I called you out.
I walked to the top of the stairs, and I looked down. And as soon as I looked down, I, in my head, went, "I can't do that." But I was not willing.
But the gauntlet has been thrown.
I wasn't willing to admit that I couldn't do it. So uh-huh. after a little bit of toing and throwing, I launched myself off these stairs.
Yeah, you did.
And it time sort of slowed down for me because I remember thinking, as I jumped off, thinking, I'm not going to land this and I'm not going to clear the stairs. So I went to brace myself to basically smack into the stairs. But then... Because time felt slower, I then had enough time to kind of realise, oh no, I have cleared the stairs and I could have landed on my feet, but instead I was already in a ball in the air, so I just crashed on the floor.
But then I rolled,
got up, my elbows cut open, I'm grazed on my shins and whatnot, and I just picked myself up and went and walked off. With you, these kids were still knocking around, and as soon as we got out of shot, I was like, "Oh, this really hurts."
We then walked all the way to my grandparents in the middle of Broadstairs to get you a plaster.
I know. I'll also give you another. I'll give you another treat, which was once in school. It was an assembly, and this assembly was taking place in the dining, like one of the canteen, the dining hall for some reason. Mm-hmm. And we sat round in like the on the canteen benches, on tables. And I sat there and I suddenly got a sneeze, and this sneeze was more violent than I was expecting it to be. So I'm sat, and I mean like a full on Niagara Falls snot wave.
Oh my God, that's horrible.
And like just landed on my lap.
Oh!
And like, it's not even subtle because everyone saw it.
Yeah.
And I had to then, I was going through my blazer and I managed, luckily I had like a scrap of paper, like a worksheet, and I was just having to scrape snot off my trousers. There you go.
Oh God, that is pretty embarrassing. Last two. Would you be comfortable showing your browser history?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
It's because you're using incognito mode, isn't it? last question: what's going to end humanity?
Do you know what? It will be something really pathetic, like a little virus.
Darren Hill, those are my questions.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
It was some really good questions there, actually. I said that really patronisingly. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it was.
You have the capacity to come up with questions that are mildly entertaining. Ooh. There we go. Sorry, that's not what I meant at all. I meant to just pay you a compliment.
I know it's not. I know.
I'm even a wanker when I'm trying
to be. Isn't it weird, though, that when we do pay each other a compliment, because we are so anal about everything we personally say, it's like, oh, God, fuck. Oh, he's going to think I'm an arsehole, even though I was just trying to be nice. We're all a bit sort of like, if it wasn't for the case, it's because blokes don't compliment each other on about anything generally. I think that's one of those things. So when it always comes off a little bit incongruous, or insincere, I suppose is a better word.
One of the last nights out I had, mm-hmm. it was for a friend's birthday, and I was in Canterbury, and I was quite drunk. I wasn't plastered, but I was quite drunk, and I ended up in
Merry.
Ended up in McDonald's about 1 o'clock in nice. 1 o'clock in the morning. Got my McDonald's. Nice. I walked out. I was with two of my friends at the time. They were giving me a lift home. And I was eating I was in the middle of the high street, I was eating my chips, and I just happened to almost bump into this bloke who was much drunker than me. Mm-hmm. And we bumped in and I went, "Oh, sorry." And he looked up at me and went, "God, you're handsome," and then walked off.
what a brilliant moment. Oh, that's lovely. I love that. That's so nice.
But like, he didn't say it like I'm coming on to you. Also didn't say it like I'm taking the piss. It was just like,
just a really sincere, genuine moment. Oh, that's really nice.
I didn't know what to do with it. I was sat there going,
Thanks, I suppose. Thanks very much.
Conor Moore, are you ready for some quickfire questions?
I'm ready for some quickfire questions, baby.
Question one, your childhood idol.
My childhood idol. Oh, God, Brandon Flowers from The Killers.
Oh, that's
probably
that's better.
Yeah. Oh, Brendan Flowers, sorry.
Better and less problematic than mine,
which is
Kevin Spacey.
Oh, Kevin Spacey. I knew that.
Not aged well.
Yeah.
the definition of a good friend is.
Oh God, loyal. Will call you out on your shit. Is fun to be with.
Who would win in a fight between Dracula and Ian Duncan Smith?
Who's Ian Duncan Smith?
He is the he was head of Departments of Work and Pensions, former Conservative.
Ian Duncan Smith. Then.
Oh, great! You just said Conservatives. Yeah, he's going to fucking take on Dracula, Prince of Darkness. The last live event you went to?
Oh, God, I'm not sure. I have to come back to that. I don't know. I can't remember.
An unpopular opinion of yours is?
That I like fruit with meat sometimes.
Ooh.
Because the fruit, because the acid sort of does a thing for it. It's really good.
What kind of meat?
I'm talking like pineapples with like gammon and stuff like that. Okay. Pineapple and gammon's really, really good.
I mean, I thought you were just going to, if you were going to say apple with pork. Totally fine.
Apple with pork is one as well. But no, yeah, like pineapple and gammon's pretty good.
Rank the Spice Girls in order of who you would spend a week in a caravan with, from least to most.
Okay.
So you've got to spend a week in a caravan with them.
From least to most.
Who do you least want to, up until who you most want to?
I'm really sorry, Emma. I'm so sorry, Emma, you're last once again.
Emma Bunton ever done to you?
I don't think her and I would get on very well.
Well, no, you keep putting her bottom of these fucking lists. That's going to make it a frosty caravan.
I'm sure she's lovely. I just don't think, in terms of personalities, I don't think we'd get on too well. Then probably Mel C.
Yeah.
Just because I think we get on really, really well, but we do have some sort of similar interests. Like, she's a big musical theatre person. I like musical theatre, so that's kind of fine. Mm. Then Jerry. Actually, swap those around. I think Jerry's four. Just because I don't know much about Jerry Halliwell. Enough to know that we'd get on that really well, which maybe means she should be higher because it would be like a good opportunity to get to know her. But if I've got to spend this week, then yeah, no, it's Jerry Howard. Then Mel C. Then it really would be a toss up here, but I'm going to go Vicky Beckham. There's a lot of things I'd love to spend a week with and pick her brains for a week. Victoria Beckham. I think she's got some really interesting insights into the fashion industry.
Yeah.
And what that is, and whether or not you believe a lot of the stuff about her in the newspapers talking about how actually she doesn't really do a lot of her designs and stuff like that. I'm not interested in that. I'm just interested in talking to her about fashion and her sensibilities. Then it's my girl. Then it's my girl, Mel B. I just love her. I love her. I think she's brilliant. She's funny. She makes me laugh. I think we'd get on really, really well. You know she loves a piss up in a barbecue. And what more do you want from a caravan week, for a week away in a caravan, right? Getting drunk, getting like barbecues every night, maybe going down to the local pool to have a swim, just skinny dipping at night in the lake. She'd be up for all of it.
Just don't bring up Eddie Murphy.
LB. Yeah, I'm just not gonna bring up it. Yeah, I'm not gonna do that. Oh God.
If Michael Owen is the question, what is the answer?
The end of humanity.
Fair enough. Those are my questions. Okay, getting back to the structured fun, because I feel we've done too much spontaneity in this podcast. So we are going to play another round of the ever so popular podcast or podfarce. Over to you, Mr. Connor Maud, to introduce the game, and I will get my thinking cap on.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if this is your first time tuning in, we play a game on this show called Podcast or Podfast. I'm going to give Darren three podcasts. Two of them are real, One of them I have made up. It is Darren's goal to guess which one is fake and guess which one I have invented. At currently, the standings are 2-1 to the game versus Darren, which he is woefully upset about, and I am very happy about. So, Darren.
Yeah.
Your first set of podcasts are podcast number one, The Plays the Thing. The Plays the Thing is the ultimate resource for lovers of Shakespeare, dedicating 6 episodes to each play. This podcast explores the themes, scenes, characters, and lines that make Shakespeare so memorable. In the end, we'll cover every play the Bard wrote, thus permitting an ongoing contemplation and celebration of the most important writer of all time. The Plays the Thing. Podcast number two, That Shakespeare Life. Hosted by Cassidy Cash, That Shakespeare Life takes you behind the curtain into the real life of William Shakespeare. Podcast number three, The Shakespeare Podcast. A podcast dedicated to the lives and works of author and playwright William Shakespeare, exploring a new play every series. The Play's the Thing, That Shakespeare Life, or The Shakespeare Podcast. Which one is real? Which one is fake?
Firstly...
Or which one is fake?
Do you know what... As a theatre person, the one subject that I do not listen to any podcasts about
is
theatre. Because generally, they are really poor and fucking dull.
They are, yeah. Remember when this started out as an arts podcast?
No, but like they are.
I know.
I think this is okay. My logic is, if there are Shakespeare podcasts, if it isn't, I don't know why it isn't. One should definitely be called The Plays the Thing, right? That is the most logical bloody title. However, so I think that one exists. However, if that does exist, if that is the answer, if that is a true one, can I say this to the makers of that? If it's fake, this will be weird. But assuming I'm right and that one is true. 6 episodes to each play. You fucking mental.
You think that's too many?
It's at least 4 too many. You don't need to do 6 to each play. That is mental.
Yeah.
Some would warrant 6, not all of them.
Let's come back. Let's come back to that after this game.
I think that one's true. What was the second one?
The Play's the Thing, That Shakespeare Life, or The Shakespeare Podcast?
I think it's the middle one, and I'm only going to go on. I think the Shakespeare... Someone would have set up one and called it The Shakespeare Podcast to keep it clean clean, tidy and neat. And that's my only reason, I think. I'm going to say the middle one is the false one.
So, no, That Shakespeare Life is a real podcast hosted by Cassidy Cash. That Shakespeare Life takes you behind the curtain into the real life of William Shakespeare. That's a real podcast. The Shakespeare Podcast is fake. I made it up.
Oh, so all worlds, the place,
the place, the thing exists. Yeah,
tune your content down. 6 to each play. You mental? Come on. And we're saying this, and we do this shit for an hour.
Next section, podcast number one, Politic, spelled P-O-L-I-T-I-C, with a dash in the middle. Politic.
Okay.
Discussing the latest and greatest from the blood-sucking insects that run government. Hosts John from the US and Tim from the UK chat about politics and what's frustrating the most about their leaders in this political comedy masterpiece. Podcast number two, Talking Politics. Corbyn, Trump, Brexit. Politics has never been more unpredictable, more alarming or more interesting. Talking Politics is the podcast that tries to make sense of it all. Each Thursday in Cambridge, we'll talk about this regular panel of novelists, comedians, historians and philosophers, and even a few politicians, and ask them what they think is going on. Democracy is feeling the strain everywhere. What might happen next? How bad could it get? As it unfolds, Talking Politics will be on it. Podcast number three. The Trump Cast. A podcast from Slate chronicling Donald Trump's rise to presidency and his current administration. Journalist Virginia Heffernan and Leon Cruz talk to reporters, historians, psychiatrists and other experts to help explain who this man is and why this is happening right now in the United States. So that's Politic, Talking Politics, and the Trump Cast.
I'm going to go Politic, Politic. And I thought that was true when you first said it, but I...
Politic is the fake one. Politic is completely made up. Do you know the irony in this is the fake one I made up before I found out it was a real podcast was the Trump Cast. I wrote a whole description about a fake podcast called the Trump Cast until I found out it was a real show, which is pretty wild. Section number three, Revisionist History. Welcome to Revisionist History, a podcast from Malcolm Gladwell and Pushkin Industries. Each week for 10 weeks, Revisionist History will go back and reinterpret something from the past, an event, a person, an idea, something overlooked, something misunderstood. Podcast number two, The Times That Made Us. Dates, times, facts and figures. History is a lesson we must learn from. Join us each week as we discuss a horror historical event and attempt to draw meaning to use in these strange and confusing times. The Times That Made Us has won two Great British Podcast Awards and is brought to you by Acast. Podcast number three, The History Chicks. Two women, half the population, several thousand years of history, about an hour. Go. So that's Revisionist History, The Times That Made Us, and The History Chicks. Which podcast is real? Which podcast is fake?
I think it's the middle one.
So you think The Times That Made Us is fake? Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
The Times That Made Us is the fake podcasts. History Chicks and Revisionist History is completely real. You are 2-2 with the game, mister. Tune in next week to see if Darren Hill can beat this game.
So I've got some positive thoughts for you, Connor.
Lovely.
The people have been in touch in droves.
Okay.
So positive thought number one. Jeremy in Stoke-on-Trent wrote in to say, "My wife and I are passing the time by completing our first 2,000-piece jigsaw puzzle."
Nice. Fun times. Good.
Really nice. "However, on Wednesday, I completely screwed up the arrangement of a centre section. This led to Patricia throwing a tyre iron at me in frustration."
Oh, no.
"I spent an hour in A&E. We have now, of course, resolved our differences and we have completed the puzzle."
Good. That's nice. That's good.
"I have, however, developed a nasty cough." Oh. "But, you know, swings and roundabouts." "Apparently, there's something going round." Steph in Hull says, "My son drew a picture of me with a cape on and said I am a hero."
Nice.
"I work in a nursing home." Oh. "And this brought a joyful tear to my eye." It's nice. Claire in Dorset said, "Your show was better, funnier and less of a circle jerk than The Big Night In."
Yeah, it was.
She's not wrong.
She's not wrong. Have you ever wondered what mutual masturbation looks like? If you've ever been curious, check out The Big Night In on YouTube.
Oh, we've all got loads of money, but we're going to tell you to give your money to people, even though you're not fucking got
give
any.
Give your money to people, you fucking bastards. You're on furlough.
Oh, my name's Gary Barlow. What? I avoided £20 million worth of tax that I'm going to tell you to give to charity. I can't stand it.
No, I can't. It's ridiculous.
Rhys from the Isle of Sheppey wrote in to say, hang on. Yeah, I've got to be honest, I can't quite read this. But that is what happens if your parents are siblings. So.
Okay, I can't, was it sent in crayon?
I mean, that would have been sophisticated.
God.
That was cheap, wasn't it?
Cheap, sorry. How's that low-hanging fruit taste, Darren?
The rules have changed in this weird time, Connor.
The rules have changed.
I no longer believe in punching up. I'm firmly okay with punching the fuck down.
I'm firmly okay with just punching.
Actually, my mum got in touch.
Mm-hmm.
She got in touch to say, "It was lovely to see your face, son. Really made me smile."
Oh, bless her heart.
"Had to turn off after a few minutes, though, as you do go on."
Yeah. Oh, last episode was quite tight, I thought, you know.
It was quite tight. It's still an hour, though, isn't it?
Just under an hour, isn't it?
An hour. Some would say obnoxiously long.
Some would say bloated, I think. Padded, maybe, is another phrase.
Megan in Wolverhampton's been back in touch.
Oh, nice. Good to hear from Megan again.
She wrote back in to give us an update on her now. Do you remember from last week? Her husband became a gin enthusiast.
Gin enthusiast, yeah.
Was a model rail enthusiast, yeah, yeah. And since listening to us has got into gin. So she says, boys, last week, after watching your show, Craig bought 5 bottles of the Ned on your recommendation.
Okay. Nice. Good. It's a great beer.
It's great wine, New Zealand wine. The result was him donning his black sweat top and standing in our front garden doing the haka and occasionally shouting New Zealand forever. Goes on.
Okay, good. Okay, I'm looking forward to this.
While this on its own may be seen as a disturbance of the peace, it was made all the more worse by the fact he'd neglected to put pants on.
Good.
Malcolm in Dungeness says...
In where?
My mum...
Where?
Dungeness.
Where's
Dungeness.
Weird that. Do you mean Inverness?
Dungeness is a place.
I don't think it is, Darren. I think.
Google it.
I think whoever. Read it out.
Read out the thing, or read out Dungeness. No. Dungeness is a place.
Oh, it is. Okay, sorry. I will cede that point. Oh, it's in Kent.
Thank you.
Oh wow. Well, sorry. Yeah. Carry on.
Well, we've killed the magic there.
Sorry, I'll cut that bit.
Thank you. Malcolm in Dungeness says, my mum turned 85 yesterday.
Nice.
We weren't able to see her in person, but we had a Zoom call and we held a virtual party. Her laugh was infectious.
Nice.
Poor choice of words, though, really. But
it's the word. It's the word, isn't it?
It's the word. Okay. Mark in Hackney got back in touch.
Oh, Mark. Good to hear from Mark again. It's good to have such a loyal listenership.
Although Clive's not writing in, so...
That's very true.
Mark in Hackney says, me and my housemate are continuing our Wednesday night Monopoly games. Mm-hmm. My love for her has only grown stronger. Despite the fact she insists on buying the utilities, even though they are tactically a fucking liability.
That's a really funny joke that won't make loads of sense because it got cut.
Still funny without the context. Solid.
That's a solid gag.
Solid gag. This week, I've tried to send subtle flirtatious hints to her, such as maintaining eye contact and smiling more. I think it's working.
Hmm.
I'm loving lockdown.
Nice. It's all right for Sam, isn't it?
Stacey in Plymouth said, my daughter is learning French.
Oh, nice.
Hey, you know, so am I.
How young is the daughter, though? Because she shouldn't be listening to the show if she is.
I don't know. She didn't say. I think it's fine.
Good.
Eleanor in Stevenage says, I've quit smoking and I'm exercising more and I'm already starting to feel tons better. It's good.
Good.
It's nice.
Nice. Very nice.
It's a positive thing. Gary in Milton Keynes says, I live in Milton Keynes. I'm not sure he's quite understood that this is positive thoughts.
Yeah.
But
maybe he's just a roundabout enthusiast. It's the roundabout central capital of the world. Whee! Roundabout capital of the world, Milton Keynes.
Sophie in Hackney says...
Oh, God. Okay. Soph's on the end again.
This week, my housemate has started staring and smiling at me. It's beginning to make me feel uncomfortable.
God, it's so...
How do I tell him?
Oh, no.
Well.
Well, I think luckily for you, Sophie, the apocalypse office party is here for you.
Yeah.
Do you think they listen to this while they're...
All the way to the end, do they?
I don't think anyone does. I think just we do. Oh, right. Okay. Any more, or is that our positive
thoughts?
No,
that's it. That's it for positive thoughts.
Good.
Positive, positive thoughts. And I thought that was all really positive.
I thought that was all very, very positive, and all. I mean, true.
I had fun,
obviously. Ooh, and all completely, true. Completely, completely true. But if, for instance, those positive thoughts entreated you to send your own in, we would be happy to have them. If you've got any positive thoughts, genuinely, if you have any positive thoughts, if something in particular, and not just to do with the show, anything in particular is just getting you through this time. If you've got something to sort of shout about, if something is really making you happy, if something has made you smile, if something has made you laugh, if there's a reason that you're still carrying on despite everything, please let us know in the comments on Facebook via our email. Email and Facebook, I'll put them up here. Send them in, let us know, and we'll read them out on the show. And if they are real, and not, and obviously so were those ones, but if they are real, we'll obviously not take the piss out of you. Maybe we will. no, obviously not. We really want to hear, because it's nice, right? It's in this time, a little ray of sunshine, a little moment of clarity, a little silver lining to this otherwise dark cloud would be a little better thing for us. For me, it's getting daily pictures of what is ostensibly my niece. I get daily pictures through from Ricky for Lux, and that keeps me going. He sent me a video of her yesterday where it's the first time I'd heard her make some proper noises, and I was like, oh god, it made me pretty emotional, actually.
See, I got sent a picture of my niece the other day, and it's the reason I'm drinking. Because, god, that shit's dealt for me.
Maybe it's because it's like, you know, it's not actually blood for me. Maybe it's like because it's like it's the family I chose rather than the family I have. If that makes any sense, why it feels like it means
something. Truth is, for me, I can say this because my older brothers aren't going to watch this. I have 7 nieces.
Yes, you have a lot of nieces. Well, you're one of 6.
Well, I'm one of 5. I'm one of 5 boys. Sorry, not one of 6. And I have 7. I have 7 nieces. That is, frankly, 6 too many.
Yeah. See, I'm batting around with I'm batting around the 1.
You know, I only have so much mental bandwidth, and I'm not willing to expand it because my older brothers possess a spermal potency that I can only describe as military grade.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we'll leave you. Thank you once again for tuning in to the Fools Fully podcast. Thank you for joining us in this weird and wonderful time. The Apocalypse Office Party will return, obviously, next week. Send us your positive thoughts. Send us fun stories. And all that leaves is for Darren to say,
bye, friends.
Bye.